This chazor is zechinish b'chachaz of shagav v'am yehudim zechus menachos daf nun gimel perek kolam menachos boyis matzah perek hamishi zokt the helig mishnah b'siata d'shmaya. All menachos are brought as matzah except for the chametz breads of atoida and for the shtei alechem. Those are made of chametz. Ramei says we take the seor, the dough that ferments and can then be used to make other dough chametz. We take them from the menachos themselves, from the atoida, from the shtei alechem, and we allow them to become chametz. Rabbi Yehuda says that would not be ideal because the dough would not become fully chametz in that process because the seor would not have a chance to fully ferment. Rather, you bring seor from elsewhere where it had a chance to fully ferment and puts it into the seor and measuring keli and fills the rest of the measure with flour from the carbon. Rabbi Meir says using that process would lead to a carbon having either maybe too much flour or too little flour, because if the seor is very dense, it will lead to more than any seor of total flour. If it's less dense, it will lead to too little flour. Zok de Gemara Prede asked Rav Ami, from where do we learn that all menachos have to be brought as matzah? Rabbi said, what's the question? Regarding the menachos that explicitly say it in the pasuk, the pasuk says so. Regarding the other menachos, we learn from the pasuk of Zoy Saras HaMincha, which teaches that all menachos are included here, and the pasuk says, matzah is teyochel. So why do you ask what the source is? Rabbi said, I understand it's a mitzvah to bring it as matzah, but I'm asking, how do you know that if it's not brought as matzah, it's possible even b'dievet? Rabbi said, that's also written in the pasuk. The pasuk says, lois teyofel chametz, which teaches that a mincha may not be brought as chametz, which means that it must be brought as matzah. Rav Chista asks, maybe lo yisiyaf v'chametz teaches that it may not be brought as full chametz, but it can be brought in a state that's in between matzah and chametz, which is called seyar, but not that it has to be brought matzah. In fact, there's machloikis as to what stage in the process the dough is considered to be seyar. According to Rav Meir, it's when the top becomes white. According to Yehuda, it's when the dough begins to have cracks. To which seyar is Rav Chista referring? It can't be the seyar of Rav Meir according to Rav Yehuda, because according to him, that's fully matzah. It can't be the seyar of Rav Yehuda according to Rav Meir, because according to him, that's fully chametz. It can't be the seyar of Rav Meir according to Rav Meir, because he says that someone gets malchus for eating such seyar on Pesach, which means that it's considered to be chametz. Rather, Zakmar refers to the seyar of Rav Yehuda according to Rav Yehuda. In fact, Rav Nachma Yitzchak asked, maybe lo yisiyaf v'chametz teaches that it may not be brought as chametz, but may be brought when boiling water was poured over the flour. For acting Gemara, that would be the process of revicha, which is required for certain types of menachos. If we're discussing such a mincha, the pasuk says that it has to be done. And if we're not discussing such a mincha, there is no such requirement. And for the Gemara, we would think that when the Torah says it has to be done, there's a mitzvah to do so. But when it doesn't say so specifically, we have a choice to bring it like that or as matzah. For acting Gemara, Ravina asks, maybe le seyafei chametz teaches that a person is over a law for allowing it to become chametz, not to become possible. Now that Rav Ami has been refuted from these three questions, how do we know that matzah is an essential requirement? If the Gemara Braisa says, the pasuk says, matzah tihiyeh, which makes it essential. So Gemara Vayter, Rav Preda asked Rav Ami, how do we know that the menachos are needed using lukewarm water and has to be guarded from becoming chametz? Do we learn this from Pesach where the pasuk says, ushmartem as hamatzos? Rav Ami said, the pasuk regarding menachos says, matzah tihiyeh, which should be understood as, if it says, hachayeho, keep it as it is. Keep it from becoming chametz. In fact, this pasuk was already used to make the matzah requirement essential. If tomorrow the pasuk could have said matzah hi, instead it says matzah tiya, which allows for both drushes. Zok digamara vaita once happened to Rav Ezra, the son of Rav Avtulis, came to Rav Preda. At that time, Rav Preda dashed the pasuk to mean that the Yidden asked Hashem to reward them for making Hashem known in the world. Hashem said, I'll reward Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who were the first to make me known in the world. Rav Ezra then said, the following statement, he said, let the mighty come and punish on behalf of the mighty for the mighty in the mighty. What does this mean? He explained this to mean that let Hashem, who is referred to as mighty in the pasuk, punish on behalf of the Yidden, who are also referred to as mighty, from the Egyptians, also referred to as mighty in the pasuk, in the water of the sea, also referred to as mighty in the pasuk. Rabbi Ezra then said another such statement. He said, let a beloved, the son of a beloved, come and build a beloved for a beloved in the territory of a beloved, and the beloved will receive a kapara for it. He explained this to mean that let Shloima, who is referred to as Yadid in the pasuk, and the descendant of Avram, who is also called Yadid, build the base of Migdash, which was referred to as Yadid, for Hashem, who is referred to as Yadid, in the territory of Binyamin, who is referred to as Yadid, so that the Eden, who are the Yadidim, can receive a kapara for it. A similar Joshua Reza then said, let good come and receive good from good for those who are good. He explained this to me, and again, based on Psukim, let Moshe come and get the Torah from Hashem for the Eden. Finally, Reza said one more, let this come and receive this from this for this nation. He explained again, based on Psukim, let Moshe come get the Torah from Hashem for the Eden. Zok the Gemara Vayter, Yitzchak said, based on Joshua's Psukim, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hashem found Avram standing in the Beis HaMikdash and he asked him, what are you doing there? Avram said, I came because of my children. Hashem said, but they have sinned and they have been sent to Golos. Avram said, maybe they said Mishoigik. Hashem said, it was Bemezid. Avram said, maybe it was a minority who sinned. Hashem said, it was a majority. Avram said, you should remember this Chus of Bris Mila. Hashem said, they have removed the Bris Mila from themselves. Avram said, maybe if you give them time, they'll come and do tshuva. Hashem said, I gave them time and they did more of errors. Avram then put his hands on his head and started crying. He asked, maybe there's no remedy for them. Abbas Kol spoke and compared the Yidden to an olive tree, which and this teaches, this taught that just like an olive tree fruit comes after long after it's planted, the Yidden too will eventually merit Mashiach in the future. The Gemara said, "Rav Chinen bar Papa dashed the pasuk to mean that the words of the Meraglim caused the Yidden to be punished severely. They spoke as if Hashem would not be able to conquer the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chinen dashed this pasuk to mean that Hashem told Avram, 'I have heard your voice, and will have mercy on the Yidden by decreasing the severity of the galus.'" Shmuel Levi said the Yidden are compared to an olive tree because just like the leaves of an olive tree never fall off in any season, so to the Yidden are never bottle, not in Olam Hazeh or in Olam Haba. Rav Yechanan said the Yidden are compared to an olive tree because just like the oil is only released by crushing the olive, so too Yidden only do tshuva through suffering. Mishnah Sarah Meir Oimer has se'ar boyd lehen v'chulu. What's meant that the mincha will have too much or too little flour? Rav Chisa said if the se'ar is thick, there will be more flour than the se'arin. If it's thin, there will be less. But after everything is said, after all is said and done, he's measuring in an Isaurin keli, so it'll be exactly an Isaurin. So Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef explain, we measure based on the amount of flour before water is added. Therefore, the different amounts of water can distort the measurements of the flour. Why can't they first measure the flour and then take some of it and make it into Zahar and put it back in with the rest of the flour? Mar said that's not allowed. As a gzera, that it may lead to measuring an Isaurin and then bringing Zahar from elsewhere and adding it to the flour, thereby making it more than an Isaurin of flour.